Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations. I'm your host, Annette Weiser, and with me today is a gentleman who has his finger on the pulse of a number of Florida counties, Mark Gordon. He is executive editor of the Business Observer Florida. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Annette. Thanks for having me.
Mark, you know, in this day and age, I was just reading something today in Axios, and it said, and this is just really true, independent papers are dwindling. Print is dwindling. Even digital news content is not being replaced by AI. And yet the Business Observer continues to grow as you cover the business and economy from Tampa Bay to Lakeland to Naples. Tell us how you do it, Mark.
Well, yes, thank you. It's, you know, I think the cliche of content is king will still win the day in journalism, really kind of in any journalism-related industry. And I think that, you know, we're writing about business leaders for business leaders, and I think, I hope, but it seems like it resonates with our audience. So we're very specific in what our niche is. You know, we say a lot, is this a Business Observer story? Is this something that fits with our audience? And it has seemed to work. We are growing digitally. We are stable from a print perspective, although we realize our print issue comes out every Friday. We realize that window will close probably sooner than later. So we, you know, like a lot of media publications, adapted a digital first mindset when it comes to journalism about 3 years ago. But I think to answer your question, it's content all the time. Are you producing the right content for your audience?
Well, you have an amazing background, and you know, University of Pittsburgh, and then on to Villanova. We love the basketball team. What brought you into Florida? And I see that you not only had a degree in police and courts and criminal science, criminal justice, but you covered the police and court news. So what brought you here to Florida?
I did. I've done a couple of different things before coming here, but mostly coming to Florida was more of a family decision than a work decision. My wife, Elise, now married 20 years, but this was 20 years ago, and she was recruited. She works in healthcare, something totally different than journalism, and she was recruited for a job in Bradenton. And we both, having grown up in the Northeast in New York and lived in Philadelphia, really the only Florida we knew was the East Coast of Florida, which, as you know, and that is totally different than the West Coast of Florida. And this was a really good opportunity for her, and we came down here and loved it. And I met the owner of the Observer Media Group, or a family-owned company celebrating 30 years this year, Matt Walsh. And Matt and I just hit it off, and I've been here 20 years ever since.
Well, I have been following it for a long time. Of course, my dear friend Brian Hartz was with you for a while, and
yeah,
you know, there's so much that you do. How has particularly the Sarasota Manatee market changed? Because I think originally, to me, I would always look to you for news from there.
I think the Sarasota Manatee market, the first way you could say that it's changed, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it would be population growth, right? It would be the surge in people, again, like me, moving from the Northeast, but also from Chicago and the Midwest, and lately we hear California and Oregon. So I think the population growth has sort of brought on all other kinds of growth in all kinds of housing communities, and that leads to commercial real estate. So, you know, the biggest change is just the overall growth.
It's also changed, hasn't it, in the nature of businesses that have moved, the tech, the cyber, the AI, cybersecurity. Tell us a little bit about how, I mean, I've watched Lakewood Ranch go from being, you know, just a polo field to a campus of businesses. Tell us a little bit about the business community and how it's diversified.
Yeah, the business community, that's an on-purpose effort from community business civic leaders to diversify the economy. And so, you know, you have the Lakewood Ranch Corporate Park, and there's light industrial on another part of town in Lakewood Ranch. There's, you know, hospitality, restaurants, hotels. So it's certainly diversified. But, yes, the Corporate Park has sort of been an anchor. You know, there's big architecture firms there now. There's, you know, I think one of the signs of a growing market is when you have big real estate deals. And so there's been, you know, over the past few years, even commercial real estate sales in Lakewood Ranch, you know, over $10 million. And while it's, you know, nothing like what Tampa or St. Pete are doing, for a community that was, you said, you know, was basically cow fields 25, 35 years ago, that's a pretty sizable change.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about the 40 under 40, which is our main reason of talking, but I also want to talk about how smart you were to start a podcast. Tell us a little bit about your podcast from the corner office.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel so smart. No, you know, it was started a couple of years. That was June 2023 is when we started it. And it actually, the idea for it for me personally goes back to even those hard to remember pre-COVID days. But I used to have on my list of goals starting 2019, number one was always start podcast. And the main reason why I thought we could do it is because at the Business Observer, we're fortunate, lucky, blessed to have access to a lot of leaders, right? Whether it's, you know, somebody like Brian Murphy at ReliaQuest in Tampa, or, you know, Trevor Burgess with, you know, Neptune Flood in St. Pete, and on and on, you know, down the west coast of Florida. And so we have access to these leaders. And I thought this would be a way to talk to them, interview them, get their stories about leadership and their experiences in a different format that wasn't print. And I'll tell you just personally, I remember saying to my colleague Kat at the Observer Media Group that, you know, she's like, what's holding you up in doing it? And I said, well, I don't want it to suck.
I get that completely.
That was, you know, my main reason. And then, you know, everybody says, you know, start a podcast, and there are parts of it that, you know, make it easy, but like anything else, like starting something is challenging, right? And I called some friends and some mentors of mine and people who've done it before and kind of got going on it and hired a producer, which was a huge move. You certainly can do a podcast on your own, but having somebody do the tech side has been huge. But that's kind of the genesis of it, was another format way to deliver information to our audience.
Well, you know that Radio St. Pete, as news director, I'm going to be asking you if we can rebroadcast some of those fabulous ones on Radio St. Pete and increase your footprint. So let's get right down. There's so much to talk about, and we really want to have you, Mark, as a presence on Radio St. Pete on a regular basis. This 40 under 40, this is something that you guys have been doing very successfully. Tell us about the iteration of this.
So 40 under 40, our first one was in 1999, before I got here. And that was when we only covered the Sarasota-Bradenton market. We expanded to the Tampa Bay market in 2001, the Business Observer did, and then the Fort Myers-Lee Collier market in 2005. And so for the last 20 years, the 40 under 40 issue stretches, if you include Lakeland and Polk County, stretches 9 counties on the west coast of Florida. And, you know, a lot of publications do this. You know, Crain's Business, Detroit and Chicago do it. And, you know, Forbes magazine does a 30 under 30. So kind of the idea is pretty similar. You're looking for the best top young leaders, you know, in a diverse set of fields. So healthcare, technology, retail, real estate, you know, things that kind of drive the economy in the region. So like I said, we've been doing it for 20 years. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, we started our sort of twist. You know, we like to be different than our competitors and other publications. And
right.
Three or 4 years ago, we decided to include each winner's mentors in the issue. And the idea there is, you know, everybody kind of has somebody in their life that has helped them get to where they are, you know, whether it's a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, a boss, a colleague, a spouse, a partner, you know, different people in their lives. And that's really opened up a lot of really, I think, a really some great storytelling possibilities. So, yeah, it's so each year we put this issue together. It's 40 stories and 40 photos, and we have videos that we take of the winners, and we wrap it all up in a big event in October, which, you know, we just held it a few weeks ago in Sarasota to celebrate all these winners.
You know, I really, first of all, I want to commend you on the mentor, and I'm going to, before we launch into the ones that are from Tampa Bay, and I thank you for giving us this preview of this wonderful, and, you know, it is a lot of work. Who were your mentors?
Oh, who were my mentors?
Well, yeah, you knew it was coming back to you, right?
I didn't. Okay, but I can do this. I think if I'm picking one in my life mentors, clearly my dad, Jerome Gordon, stands out. a mentor in terms of just being a good person. You know, I asked somebody on a podcast the other day a new question. I hadn't really asked this question, is what would you want your legacy to be? And this person answered, he wants people to say, I'm a good guy. And I thought that was really simple and good. And I think that's something that my dad, for my brother and my sister and I think be a good human being. He had a great phrase that I use often called don't borrow worry. And that's really sort of guided my life in terms of trying to limit my anxieties, you know, whether it's, you know, about our teenage son or work or other things. I think, you know, there's a lot of worry in the world, but he would always say, don't borrow worry. It's, you know, meaning whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So as far as being a human being, ethical, honest, you know, committed to your family, I would say my dad, 100%. And I would say work-wise, there's a couple of people. I work with some amazing people at the Observer Media Group. I said, you know, Matt Walsh, our, co-founder and CEO, the fact that he has built up this sustainable, growing, thriving journalism company in this era is pretty impressive. Kat Wingert, our COO and executive editor, who I've worked pretty much alongside for close to the almost all 20 years I've been here. She has a sign on her door, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I'm not in front of it right now, even though I've seen it a bazillion times, but it's, are we chasing excellence today? And I think that's so important in any field, but I love that I work for a company with a high bar, and Kat sets a high bar, and hopefully I set a high bar for our team, and she would be another person that's been a mentor of mine.
Well, I think you do, and quite honestly, I love the articles. I mean, I do like reporting on business, but I find, like Forbes in the digital, everything I read is fun to read, and I want to thank you for that. So with no further ado, let's talk about some of the 40 under 40. Let's start with Richard Anderson. Now, he is quite started off as a dishwasher at age 14 and became the peak of his profession, and he runs the Culinary Director, Oxford Exchange, the Library in St. Pete, Pratolina, the Stovall House, SH19, Kasikami at the Current Hotel, and Mad Dogs and Englishmen. Why did he stand out as a hospitality leader for you?
Well, I think the main reason he stood out is overseeing all these different diverse things, because some are higher end, some are middle, I would say definitely not lower end, but not as high as others. So it's kind of a big operation, I think, altogether. They have the entire company has 1,000 employees. I don't think he's overseeing all 1,000 employees. So we really like that aspect of it. And then I guess we didn't choose him knowing this, but he told a great story, both at our event and also in the profile that we wrote about him, about how his mentor, another chef at a restaurant where he grew up, had said to him, you know, you need to clean this area, clean this kitchen. And he was a teenager, and he's pretty much like, yeah, I'm all done. And he's like, the manager was like, are you sure? And, you know, Richard said yes. And turns out that he didn't really do a good job, because there was a $100 bill stuffed under one of the counters on purpose, because the manager wanted to see if Richard would actually do all the nitty-gritty work. And if he did, he would have gotten that $100 bill. So it was such a great illustrative lesson of, putting all the work in. So we love that story.
Well, I love this story, and especially the lead. I want to congratulate Anastasia Dawson, the reporter, and I'm just going to read the lead. And Jerry Dumke, always been one to take the bull by the horns. This 30-year-old lives in St. Pete, folks, and she grew up on a cattle farm in Plant City, and she earned a degree in animal science with a focus on beef from University of Florida, and she now manages, she's the Southeast representative for Mishima Reserve, an American Wagyu beef company. So she's gone from a little girl growing up on a cattle farm to, you know, basically supplier distribution for an entire beef chain. This one really spoke to me, because a young woman like this at this age to be so incredibly competent. Tell me what spoke to you about this profile.
Yeah, I mean, competent and knowledgeable. And again, you didn't know this, like, I didn't know this when our team selected her, but so humble. And it was so impressive to talk to her with this amazing background that she's had at such a young age. And that, you know, we didn't get too a little bit into the story, but, you know, she's in a field dominated by men. It's selling meat, right? That's not a, that traditionally is not a women, a field that women choose or end up in. And, you know, she's, as our awesome staff writer and my colleague Anastasia said, she took the bull by the horns on this one. So she was just really super knowledgeable, impressive, focused. Like, she was a really fun person to interview and profile.
Well, I think this one really stopped me. So, folks, in case you've just joined us on Radio St. Pete, I am talking to Mark Gordon. He is with the Business Observer Group, and we are talking about the 40 Under 40, this incredible list of people that, and you've introduced us to people that I didn't know were here. So this one got me. Eric Dungy, 33, a name that needs no introduction. And, if, you know, I love how it starts. You have to guess that Eric Dungy is among an extreme minority of people who can say a job coaching in the National Football League was his backup plan, but that's exactly how he looked at it. Tell us about what he does selling homes in both counties.
Well, he sells homes and properties, and he's got this, because, you know, of his background and playing football and sort of knowing people in the entertainment celebrity space, you know, he's got this very particular client list, you know, where he's, you know, able to be in a position to sell these high-end properties. And I think he does, you know, when you're in that kind of line of work, and we kind of thought this, and he confirmed it when we talked to him, it's other things come up, right? You want to be this trusted advisor, you know, to your clients. So you're selling real estate, but then you're also, you know, presenting them with maybe investing opportunities and other things. And he's like a mover and shaker type person. And he's, not surprisingly, just got this really great presence, like, you know, somebody that kind of comes in the room and you know he's in the room, not because of his physical stature, you just kind of know. And he was super friendly and very engaging, and you could see how he's going places in life.
Well, the next one also is a terrific one, and this is Chris Chatterton. He's based in Tampa with clients on both sides of the bay, and it's a Tampa-based retail grocery and food brokerage called Chatterton. Tell us a little bit about what spoke to you all about Chris, who's 38.
Chris, you know, he has taken over a business that his mother founded, and really some great stories that we learned and published about Chris kind of literally being driven back and forth to school practice or sports practice after school, to school, things like that. And, you know, seeing his mom work, and his mom was his mentor, and, you know, looking up to her and all these things. And he's sort of this classic case of you hear a lot, right, that, you know, he's the next generation, and he's putting, you know, his own stamp and spin on the company, which, you know, in this case involves a lot more technology. And so I think it's really interesting to see where he takes the business that, you know, his mom grew to this, you know, I don't have the exact number, I think it was about $15 million in revenue, and, you know, where he's going to grow and go with the business.
So the next one also, I know this company well, and I know her well, Anna Holder. Her company's based in Clearwater, folks, and I know that you, you know, she never expected her high school gig to become her future career. She took an entry-level position at Frank Crum, which is a Clearwater-based professional employer organization. Tell us a little bit about Anna Holder at 37 and why she made the 40 Under 40.
One of the things we look for a lot in 40 Under 40, they're all, not they're all, but some of these things are intangible, right? And it's this ability to overcome obstacles. And you kind of just know from seeing Anna and from talking to people, you know, taking this entry-level position at this, you know, several hundred, maybe they're into the thousands now with Frank Crum, but, you know, I've been to their ginormous campus in Clearwater a couple of times. It's a big, big business, and you can get lost there. But she just went with it and started there and had goals and set goals and then just kept resetting goals. So overcoming obstacles and consistency and consistently doing a great job, that stood out to us about Anna.
I thought this one was very interesting, and I know Dr. Katarina Kesty, she's the daughter of two ophthalmologists, so she definitely was on the goal was to become a doctor, but she's become one of the premier dermatologists. What I thought was so interesting, and I know that she is using AI to enhance laser care, and I found that very interesting. Tell me a little bit about what struck you about her.
Well, the AI was a big part, right? Like, that's
right.
Such a big
for the good.
Topic. And in fact, I remember talking to one of my colleagues about it. We were looking at her nomination form, and I did a control F. We did a control F search on it, and the phrase AI came up, I think, 16 times. So it just showed how, you know, sincere and devoted she was to that. So that really interested us in pursuing her for this issue.
I love that. I love the AI for the good. And she is a lovely, when you talk about people that are kind and good, she really is. So another 40 under 40 in the Business Observer 2025 was Taylor Penny, who lives in St. Pete and works in Tampa. Tell a little bit about the fact that she was in law school and then she realized she didn't want to be a lawyer. Tell us what struck you about her.
Well, I think another great example of, you know, we shine a light on somebody who goes through this career pivot, right? I think especially in today, there's just so many things that we hear about people changing careers and doing different things. And she chose to make a change and now works for one of the biggest home builders in the region. So I think her career pivot certainly stood out to us.
And interesting, too, because, you know, women in home building, sure, I mean, Habitat for Humanity now has a whole woman building group that has just been launched. But it's still not the norm. So I love that you included her. And then finally, as well, we're not going to do all the 40 under 40. The last one that I think is so interesting is Ali Singer. And she had her epiphany when she was between 8 and 10 years old. Tell us a little bit about her.
Ali is another one that I think we've had a couple of these that we just really admired for their ability to say, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go attack it and do it. You know, I think we get somewhere between 290 and 300 applications or nominations,
wow,
I should say, every year. And that's something that I kind of, it's an intangible, but you're looking for that. Like, there's a, you know, out of those 300, right, 299 of them are super accomplished people. Like, you're not going to be nominated for this issue unless you have accomplishments, and that's great. But what stood out to us about Ali was how she was just such a go-getter and hustler, and I'm going to figure out the career that I want and go do it. So that was a pretty good one. They all were good, but she was a good one.
What do you, you know, the event, I'm sure, was spectacular, but what was it like? What was the dynamic like to have all of those young movers and shakers in the room? Did you look around and say to yourself, there's still more to come from all these people? What was the feeling?
Definitely look around and think there's still more to come. I think the feeling, or as my 17-year-old would say, the vibe, which is so awesome to see, is how much their network loves celebrating them. There was one winner, actually works for St. Pete Company, Bay First Bank, but she lives in Sarasota. And April Miller was her name. She's head of treasury services for Bay First Bank. And I want to say she had 15 people there, and they had those like little cardboard cutouts with her face on it, and they were cheering for her. And that's an outsized example, but I think that's one of the best things is to see, I should say there's two best things, to see people celebrating their family, friends, colleagues is amazing. And then we hear from these winners how much they loved being part of this event, because as another winner in Sarasota called me the other day, and he said, like, you know, you're in the grind all the time, building your business, building your career, and to have somebody, you know, a third party reach out and say, yeah, we respect this, we admire this, we want to honor you for this, to hear them be so grateful for it is a nice reward for all of us.
Well, Mark, we want to thank you for sharing the inside scoop on the 40 under 40. What are you working on now? What's coming up next as we go into the tail end of 2025?
Well, one of the big things, two things we're working on is one issue for early next year. We want to write about how, speaking of AI, we want to dig deep into how businesses are using AI different than maybe even 6 months ago or a year ago. What are some new ways we're using AI, ChatGPT, all those different things out there. And then we also have in early January one of our favorite issues to put together, which is called Diversions, and it's about CEOs, executives, entrepreneurs, business owners, leaders, and their hobbies and pastimes. And that could be mountain climbing. That could be making Christmas wreaths. That could be playing chess. You know, it doesn't have to be one thing. We find those, I personally enjoy those stories because you get to see a different side of the people we write about. So those are two big issues that are coming up.
Well, I want to ask you about your diversions, but before that, I want to just say that I also know that you are on the board of the Florida Holocaust Museum, which just reopened in St. Petersburg. Big accomplishment.
Thank you. Brand new to that board. Amazing and terrific organization that I'm honored that I was invited to be on their board.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to be going to the Leonard Bernstein performance at the Florida Orchestra with the Florida Holocaust Museum. We have the director who is magnificent. So we want to thank you for that. But what is, let's finish this up with, what is your diversion when you're not making news happen?
Oh, what is my diversion?
Your diversion. We're all about you.
We're all about me. You know, I think I guess I'm kind of boring. I try to walk or exercise. I guess kind of boring, right? I like reading. I like doing things with our family. My son and I love going to movies together. As we're, I don't know when this comes out. It's like mid-October. My son, Aaron, and I are very excited to see the Bruce Springsteen movie that's coming out Friday, October 24th.
I'm right there with you, The Boss.
The Boss, big Springsteen guy. So that's, you know, going to movies, just doing things with wife and family. We're like low-key weekend people, like our best weekend. When people say on Monday, like, how was your weekend? I'm uneventful. Like, I love that. So, and again, that sounds kind of boring, but just those easy things like that are my my diversions. One other thing, I was actually mentioning to somebody today, it doesn't feel like it's a diversion or hobby, but I did, through a friend, get into a fantasy football league, and I'm like not a gambler person at all, but I mean, I do like football, but because I'm in first place at this point in the year,
way to go,
it's like a great hobby, because so, you know, to all the people of the League of Unextraordinary Gentlemen on CBS Sports, yes, I am 6-1 and in first place. So there's
hey,
that.
I love that. And you are an extraordinary gentleman. Folks, we've been talking with Mark Gordon, the managing editor of the Business Observer. We will be hearing from him more in his podcast and in interviews going forward. Mark, parting words for young people who want to get into storytelling of any kind.
Parting words is to just do it. Find ways to write whatever, you know, situation you're in, whether college or high school, find a magazine, a newspaper. And if your school doesn't have one, you know, reach out to other publications, communities. I think that's the best and most tired and true way to get better, probably in a lot of professions, but is to just do it. That's how I hope I've gotten better at the podcast by doing it. But there's no better way to advance in this field than to get out and write stories and learn as you go.
Mark, we thank you so much. Folks, this has been a Lunchtime Conversation with Mark Gordon. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. Until next time, and until we hear from the Corner Office with Mark Gordon, we bid you farewell. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having me.